I find it interesting. I don't know about you, but I catch certain phrases. And I find it very interesting that in today's Holy Gospel, it starts out with the words, "When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place." Were you wondering what happened? Come on, how many people here were wondering, what happened? And you didn't have your Bibles in front of you to go to Matthew earlier in Matthew chapter 14 to find out what happened. So I'm going to help you with that one. Early in the 14th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we're told that Herod the Tetrarch, also known as Herod Antipas, the king of Judea, and the son, one of four sons, of Herod the Great, who was now dead, he had John the Baptist arrested and killed. Now, he wasn't just killed, but he was brutally beheaded. Why? Because the daughter of his wife, if you will, Herodias, danced for him and pleased Herod. That's according to Matthew chapter 14, verse 6. The king promised her whatever she wanted, and she was sort of pushed along the way, the scripture says, encouraged by her mother Herodias to demand, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." Matthew 14, verse 8. And as the first line of today's gospel reading said, when Jesus heard what happened, that's what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. I think that gives us some insight as to what Jesus might have been feeling as he sought some solitude, some alone time, if you will. Who here doesn't need alone time? I need alone time. I really do. To concentrate, to pray, to get focused, if you will. That's what Jesus was trying to do. He was trying to connect with the Father just to get in that right place. Because he knew all along what was coming, what was going to be happening. But he was deeply troubled by the fact that his cousin, if you will, his family member, wasn't just killed, but he was decapitated. Wow. And so he wanted some solitude, some alone time, only to have the crowds following him. Well, I could see the situation, but I got to tell you, I can't possibly imagine how Jesus, except to say that he's God, dealt with all of this. The desire to be alone and have some peace must have been incredibly great. In fact, today's Holy Gospel message from Matthew tells us that Jesus sought that solitude and he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Well, try to imagine being in Jesus' place, if you can. He had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, and he had not a moment's rest. So, question is, how did Jesus deal with this? Well, the gospel tells us that when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Let's do a flashback back to that reading from Nehemiah, which tells us about God being a forgiving God, a gracious and compassionate, slow to anger God, and abounding in love. I find that absolutely amazing. It ties together. Did you hear what Jesus did? He felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Now there's more coming. But the first thing is that he knew of their ills and he wanted to heal them. And the thought of that just grabs a hold of me and makes me want to sit up and take notice. I know I'm standing. But Jesus is feeling compassion for them is a remarkable phrase and carries an awful lot of truth with it. The word compassion, as I said, I pay attention to some words. It jumps out at me, catches my attention. And I believe it reveals a great deal about the nature and character of Jesus Christ, about the nature and character of Almighty God. The Greek term used to represent compassion is splagnizomai, Okay, now there'll be a quiz after the sermon. Splagnizomai. Well, what does that mean? Okay, well, splagnizomai relates not to just feeling awe, but it's to the deepest part of you, your personal inner feelings, your emotions, one's center, a yearning or a longing from deep inside you to act on someone else's behalf. A feeling in your gut that's aroused by another person's suffering or pain. And I know most of the people in this room, I've heard stories from you, I've heard you tell me testimonies, how you have reached out to people in need, in pain, who are hurting physically, emotionally, or spiritually. That's splagnizomai. Really incredible when you think about it. It would seem to me that a significant part of Jesus' ministry was his active compassion towards the suffering of others. But I don't want you to confuse compassion with pity. Pity is just feeling sorry for someone. That's, aww. It's kind of shallow, although it can have a true meaning and deep meaning. And it may even invoke, if you will, looking down upon someone in a condescending way. Yeah, I'm sure we all have seen situations with that where someone has pity on someone, but they're looking out of the corner of the eye and judging. Throughout the Gospels, my friends, there are many, many examples of Jesus' compassion exhibited by miracle after miracle after miracle. And I'm not just talking about the feeding of the multitudes, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, which is in today's gospel, or even the feeding of the 4,000, another instance, which is mind-boggling in and of itself. But there are other marvelous miracles, examples of the miracles of compassion and love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to just give you a few. In Matthew chapter 9, 12 to 13, Jesus declared, "It's not those who are healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire," here's this word again, "compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And then there were the 2 blind men on the road from Jericho who called out to Jesus, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. That's Matthew chapter 20, verses 33 and 34. And then, of course, the man with leprosy, who fell to his knees pleading for mercy and saying to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. And when Jesus went into the city of Nain and saw the dead son of the widow being carried out and the pain that the woman was in, Gospel of Luke chapter 7 says, "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, 'Don't cry.' Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." Wow. I believe that one of the greatest examples of God's awesome compassion and love for all, all of humanity, lies in the miracle of incarnation. When Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, God himself stepped into history and took on flesh. Can you imagine lowering yourself? Here you are, the creator of the universe, highest being of everything, and stepping down to take on flesh and do everything that humans do, short of sinning. Everything, being hungry, yes, having to find the facilities, everything. He took on flesh. He came into the world. God stepped into history. No one understands better than Jesus of Nazareth what it means to be human, being susceptible to temptation and death. I want you to hear the words from the Gospel of John. You're all familiar with this. You've heard me say these words 1,000 times. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I won't stop there. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16 and 17. Jesus Christ coming into the world demonstrates the most absolutely incredible show of compassion for all mankind. Now remember splagnismi? It's that deep inner, the deepest inner feeling, your gut feeling for someone else. And how did he do that? He took on the punishment upon himself, our punishment. He took our place on the cross, and he paid the price for our sins. He didn't stand by and let us figure it out for ourselves. But instead, Jesus felt from the depths of his being the compassion and love that knows no limit. And as Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, said, by his stripes, his scourging, his wounds, his very death, we are healed. No one can possibly know the agony that Jesus went through. And thanks be to God, because we have faith in him and his forgiveness, we never will. He took that threat away from us. And all we have to do is say please and thank you. A lot of times we ask, but we never say thank you. In today's gospel, Jesus, after healing all the sick people who came to him, told his disciples that the people did not need to leave him. But instead, he asked the disciples to give the people something to eat. And all they could muster up was 5 loaves and 2 fish. There were no hungry howies. No, with 2 toppings. It was nothing like that. The apostles said, well, why can't we tell them to go into the towns and buy something to eat? And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And all they could muster up was 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's interesting that 5 and 2 equal 7, the number of completion, the perfect number, God's number. Jesus blessed and broke them and told his disciples to distribute the pieces among the people present. And before their very eyes, what had been blessed and broken filled and satisfied the huge number of people. Now the gospel tells us it's 5,000 men. Well, let's stop there. Think of a family of 3. A family of 3. The man, the woman, and a child. And maybe even a family of 4. But if you just took a family of 3, that's 15,000 people that were fed that day. Not just fed, but they were satisfied. Wow. 5 loaves and the 2 fish also produced 12 baskets of leftovers. Wow. I mean, this isn't just, okay, the feeding of the 5,000. Look deeper at it. It's a rich meaning, too. 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 baskets of leftovers. God is always trying to say, oh, look. There's meaning here. At the beginning of our gospel lesson, we see Jesus seeking to be alone, to get some alone time, some solitude. Instead, he was finding people in need. I want to suggest to you that at the end of Jesus' life, it was he who might have needed the company of people. But instead, Jesus was left all alone, forsaken and left to hang on the hardwood of the cross. When the crowds were in need, they wouldn't leave Jesus alone. But when he was in trouble, only a handful stood by, mercifully weeping. I think this is significant. Because when we're in our darkest hour, my friends, Christ stands with us to love and support us, to stand in the gap with us, to never leave us or forsake us. That's from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57. Jesus Christ knows better than anyone what it means to be human, to endure hardship, hunger, temptation, and pain. And you know what? He stands with us when we're feeling alone, when we feel forsaken, when we're hurting, when the enemy is taunting us with whatever is our weakness. Jesus is with us, and he will help us through if we let him. His shoulders are much broader than ours are, and he doesn't want us to carry any burden alone. Jesus wants us to invite him to walk with us, to take the load and lighten ours. Just a few weeks ago, you heard me speak about the yoke and the oxen. And I want to repeat that verse with you. So much compassion, splatness of mine, of our Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. When everything else seems dark, when we're filled with distress or mourning, grief or pain, then we have to give it to Jesus and feel his compassion and love, which know no limits. He's not going to tell you to leave, to get out of the way. Instead, he offers himself to you. He offers healing emotionally, physically, and spiritually. He'll help you to endure in and through his compassion, mercy, and love. The author of Hebrews reminds us of Christ's compassionate love, saying this, for this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he may make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He's able to help those who are being tempted. Let me just clarify one thing about that word atonement. At-one-ment. Bringing together to fix the relationship that had been broken by sin. Atonement. At-one-ment. We are restored. My friends, we can take great comfort in the words from Hebrews. And I urge you to do this today if you can. Accept his compassion, his mercy, and his love. It's a free gift. There are no strings attached. And Jesus offers that to you today. We only need to accept it, along with his compassion and his great love. Now that is a Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.